Connor. I'm a group manager in Microsoft's Developer and Platform Evangelism Group. I'm sitting here in Building 42 at Microsoft Campus with Dennis and John. And today I think we're going to talk about something called BizTalk Services.
That's right.
You guys want to give a quick introduction, talk about what you do?
Go for it.
So BizTalk Services, the idea there is that it's a real pain in the neck for people to go set up a lot of the technologies that comprise a complete enterprise service bus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to move it up into the sky and make it really easy for people to use. So it might be worth describing a little bit of how people go build applications today and then give a quick overview of this.
Exactly. Sure.
So,
we'll use a whiteboard?
Sure. Let me jump over here. So if you were to go look inside of an enterprise today, let's say somewhere on the street or a manufacturer or something like that, you'd see that they have a lot of apps that all need to connect together. So they might have something like a bond trading app. And one of the things that some of their traders might notice is that, hey, when Greenspan or somebody like that says something about bonds, that has some impact on the currency trading app. And so what they do is they connect them together. And they send some message from the bond trading system over the currency trading system. And then it might have something to do with stock recommendations or other things like that. And pretty soon, the bond trading app has to know about a lot of other apps, and it gets pretty complicated. And then they might decide to change the way the bond trading app works. And so what's that mean? You got to have all these kind of cascading changes throughout the system. So these systems end up being pretty brittle. So what people invented was this notion of a service bus, and instead of connecting each app point to point, what you do is you attach the apps to the service bus, and you use technologies like publish and subscribe. So here's information from the bond trading app. It publishes an event, and anybody that's interested in what happens with bonds when there's some announcement can listen to it, and it makes for a more loosely coupled application.
Okay.
And that's so the basic way people go build a lot of enterprise applications.
So basically, instead of this point-to-point integration, you kind of have this
more
bus
loosely
where
coupled,
you're firing off events.
Yeah. And this provides uniform naming, a uniform way to do identity and access control, a uniform way to do the messaging, transformations, a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So now, this is what people go build. Now, this is a big deal. If you wanted to go put one of these things together, you'd hire 120 high priests of IT, spend millions of dollars on your software, get it all configured, and guess what? At the end of the process, you've got an enterprise service bus, but it looks different from anybody else's enterprise service bus.
Okay.
And so it's actually hard for two companies, each with an enterprise service bus, to connect them up. So here was our goofy idea. If we could take this notion of an enterprise service bus and we could internetize it, in other words, have it speak standard web protocols like RSS and HTTP, and instead of you having to go buy all that software and get it all configured itself, suppose we put one of these internet service buses up in the sky and you could connect your apps into it, and so that is the notion of an enterprise service bus. And that's what BizTalk.net is all about.
So BizTalk.net is BizTalk Services.
That's right.
Okay. And so Internet Service Bus is the primary service out there today?
So if you go to httpbiztalk.net, you can find our Internet Service Bus, and those are the BizTalk services.
Okay.
And today we've got a couple simple services. We've got identity services, which allow you to manage your identities. We've got messaging and communication services so that people in different organizations can send messages back and forth just like we saw here, and we have that PubSub capability.
Okay. And so there's a few different services out there today.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a bunch of different services out there, and we've got an SDK that's easy to download. Again, go to that address and you can pull it down.
Okay.
So maybe we just, the best way to illustrate this stuff though is to actually look at some code.
Kirk, sure. Real quick questions. What was your role on this project?
So I'm one of the people that started the project up. I'm an engineer, a distinguished engineer here at Microsoft. And one of the things that means is I get to go work on fun, new, and interesting projects. And I thought we should go do something like this. And people agreed. So I pulled in some super smart folks like Dennis.
Cool.
And We've been hacking on this thing for a little while.
Cool. And Dennis, I seem to remember you from the workflow days.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your role in this project?
I'm actually one of the guys who helps also contribute to the project. I own kind of the day-to-day execution of the project and operations, just making sure that a lot of the features and stuff like that happen.
Cool. Yeah. You want to show us a demo of the Internet Service Bus?
Yeah, definitely. Great. Let's take a look at it.
Great. So while he sets up, let me just give you a quick overview of what we're going to show. So today, when people go build these apps and they want to communicate point-to-point, what they would do is they would write a standard WCF app. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do is we'll show the world's simplest WCF app. It's essentially the whole hello world of WCF.
Which not a calculator sample.
No, it's not. Okay. We're just going to echo. Okay. So we're going to send one message from this app to this app, and we're going to do it all behind the firewall, all inside the enterprise, and we're going to show how moving it out into this thing is simply a config change.
Okay.
So we're going to make it really easy to do.
So the programming model for this Internet Service Bus is Windows Communication Foundation.
That's it. Right. And so, for example, to get things to work across organizations, we have a new binding, which is a part of WCF. And so instead of having to go do a lot of changes, you just go config change it. And the way we do PubSub is we modify WCF so that multiple people could listen at the same URL. And that's it. So it makes it really quite easy. So cool. We're ready to go, Dennis?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to step through the first sample, which is pretty straightforward. It's an echo sample. This is part of the SDK that you can find at biztalk.net. Let's take a look at the contract. It's pretty straightforward. What it does is it takes a string and go ahead and returns it. So what we're going to show you is how basically consistent it is to use these BizTalk cloud services relative to the experience that you understand just using standard WCF. So the first demo I'm going to show you is we're going to open up a client and a service on this local machine. So let's go ahead and do that. If I run the service here, and then run the client here, you'll see I'll be able to type text, and you'll see it echo back and forth. This is just standard WCF programming model and experience. Mm-hmm. So now what we're going to show you is...
So that was all running on the local machine, not using the service bus.
That's all, yeah, exactly. Not using the service bus at all. Now what I'm going to show you is how easy it is to use the cloud service. So what we're going to do is we're going to now connect to connect.biztalk.net, which is running out in the cloud. So that's the service config, or that's the client config, and here's the service config. All I'm doing is, again, just changing config, and I didn't have to change any of my app logic. So if I go back and run this service again, you're going to see now that I'm going to be prompted for some credentials. So John mentioned the identity services in the past, just briefly, and what this is actually doing is asking you to authenticate before you start using our connectivity service. So just before this demo, I went and created an account and created this identity on identity.biztalk.net, and now what I'm going to do is run the client and service again.
So that was the client application actually connecting there?
That's right. That's the client application wanting to use our connectivity service. It needs to be prompted for credentials. So once that happens, I have that same exact experience. So instead of sending this data locally, what we're actually doing is going out into the cloud and relaying it, basically.
So just to kind of put this in perspective, if you go talk to some engineers and you say, hey, I've got an app at my company and you've got an app at your company, and let's have them talk, that's a pain in the neck today. So imagine GE's got an aircraft engine and Boeing's got some aircraft data, and they want to have those things communicate. What we just showed here is you can build your app, and then at deployment time you can indicate the addresses, and they're able to connect across the firewalls, across NATs, connect those things up really easily. And not only does this apply in enterprise spaces, but as we'll show you in a minute, we can also build consumer-y style apps with these technologies as well.
So let me make sure I understand what you actually did here, Dennis. In this sample, you had basically an application that was talking using WCF on a local machine.
That's right.
And you changed the address. It looked like there was a SB.
Yep.
Was that service bus?
Exactly. Prefix? Yeah. That's just a name that we're using right now.
So you went from HTTP on a local machine to using the service bus.
Right.
But just by changing the address.
That's exactly it. So I actually didn't have to change my code at all. So the point that we were trying to illustrate here is that in the past, when you wanted to actually do this kind of connectivity, you had to write a lot of logic yourself. And it was pretty hard. And as John says, you need like 120 high priest engineers or IT guys to figure that out. So instead what we're doing now is just providing that for you. So we're providing that infrastructure, and all you need to do is just change this config, and it works for you.
Just like the rest of the WCF programming model.
Yep, exactly.
Change config to change the different protocols or the endpoints we're using.
That's exactly right.
Cool. So let's show one more example, which is we just talked about PubSub a minute ago, where we hook these things up, and what we said was when we want to do PubSub in this new model, we'll just use that same notion of an address, and we've extended WCF so that multiple people can listen to that address. And what we'll show here is that it's very easy to build a program like Internet Relay Chat, which probably folks are familiar with, which is normally a pretty big project. Let's see how many lines of code it took Dennis to finish this thing up.
Sure. So what we're going to show you is one of the features that we built in as part of these BizTalk services. Now, the idea is basically that you can listen and subscribe to data at a name, and that name happens to be a URI. So in the process of coming up with the sample, what we thought we would build is, as John mentioned, IRC. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run the app a couple of times, and you're going to see a bunch of clients connect to a chat room, and then we're going to walk you through the code.
Cool.
So I'm going to launch the app, and the first thing we're asked for is what you want to call the chat session. So let's just call it, you know, Channel 9 Chat. And then I want to say, what's my nickname, and let's have Dennis as my nickname. Now I'm going to be prompted a couple of times for my credentials, and, you know, that's the joy of a CTP, is that we get customer feedback. That wasn't ideal, and we're actually working to address that. But now I'm going to launch another instance of that application. I'm going to connect to that same channel, or to that same chat session, and we'll go and use John. And we're going to be prompted a couple times here. And you can imagine that different people would have different credentials, obviously. And then let's just launch one more so that you can see that it is actually a bunch of different apps and not just a client and service talking to each other. And we'll go with James here. And we'll do that again.
And I should mention we're going to fix this bug shortly.
Yep. So now
you get prompted once.
Which bug is that?
You got prompted twice for each communication.
Okay.
We're just not catching the credential, and we'll have that fixed shortly.
Yep. Great. So now Dennis is going to say, hello, guys. And you'll notice on the other screens here in a second that Dennis says, hello, guys, both here and here. And then James can say, hi, I'm taping right now. And then each of the other guys get that notification.
Cool.
So what they're basically doing is they're listening at that same name, and they're getting data back and forth from each one. A whole bunch of people can get a whole bunch of data back and forth. So we thought IRC would be a good way to actually build this. Now let's walk through the code and see how actually trivial this was.
Just a quick question before you jump into code.
Yeah.
So obviously running all this on a local machine here. What if I was actually
sitting
at home
machines.
On my couch, you know, watching some Channel 9 videos?
You could be on one machine at home. Yeah. I could be here at work, and Dennis could be mobile at the airport. Yeah.
And so what about firewalls and
wireless
access point in the middle and all that?
It's exactly it. So one of the things that we built as part of these connectivity services is actually being able to traverse securely those NATs or firewalls. So basically what we're doing is we're doing all the logic to figure out what it means to actually traverse that firewall. You don't have to worry about it. It's just wrapped up in that binding. So just for the purposes of this demo, it makes it easy to run it on one machine, but it's kind of neat when I'm at home and John's sitting at his house. We're both behind firewalls. How do we communicate with each other? It's completely opaque to a developer. They don't have to think about it at all. They just write the app, and
cool.
The binding takes care of it for them.
Very cool.
And a way to think about this is, you know, if you were to write a program like Skype or Instant Messenger, you'd have a lot of work to go to. You'd have to go invent all this firewall traversal stuff. In a sense, we've put all that technology into this little SDK. So think of it kind of like an internet startup in a box. You've got all that plumbing that you normally have to go do to do one of these internet startups, and there it is. So let's actually look at the code, because it's pretty easy.
You remember we were first asked for what we want to call our chat session, and that's what we get there is the actual chat session name. And then what's the nickname, and we store that in a string variable here. Now what we mentioned earlier is that the address represents the name. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to create a URI, and it's based on the chat session that we'd taken in earlier. So everybody kind of coordinates or rendezvous, if you will, at that one place. Then it's standard Indigo code, or sorry, WCF code. I still have that tendency to go ahead and open the client and the service. And then our really complex logic here, I'm being facetious, is basically to get an empty string or to take input until we get an empty string and call chat. And that's the whole IRC app for the most part.
Cool.
Just a standard contract definition and then calling this. And then at the end, when we're done, close everything.
Cool. So and for those of the folks that aren't familiar with the WCF program model very well, basically here with the host open, you're just saying, I want to start up this service and listen for some data.
That's right.
And then with the channel open, you're basically getting a point where you can then call out to the service.
Yeah, you can think of it as two pipes within the application, okay. One for outgoing and one for incoming messages. Yep.
So this application is both a consumer of a service as well as implementing the service.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, that's right. Cool.
But in some other apps, you probably separate some of that logic or depending on the scenario as well.
That's exactly right.
Great.
So what we've seen so far, if we kind of go back to this diagram, we've seen how we can connect up apps. We can use things like the pub-sub technologies, the naming technologies, mm-hmm. the identity and access control technologies. And it allowed us to produce things like connectivity between applications in different organizations without worrying about the firewalls or NATs. It allowed us to do pub-sub across organizations and so on. So which one are we going to show now?
So actually what I'm going to show you is another scenario that John briefly mentioned earlier, which is imagine an enterprise scenario on the street, and by the street we mean Wall Street. Typically what you have on Wall Street is a whole bunch of data coming to traders in a whole bunch of different ways. So what we're going to show you is actually kind of a scenario-based app that we built. So just to be clear, the first two demos that we showed, the Echo sample and the Multicast sample, those are part of the SDK that you can download. This is one that we built internally just to kind of, you know, see if we can prove our thesis, see if it is actually easier to build these apps.
Okay. Cool.
So this demo is broken down into two parts. What we're going to do is in that kind of Wall Street scenario, you're going to have data feeds for things like stocks and news and things like that, and the ability to actually trade those stocks or those equities. The demo that we're going to show basically is having two clients. One is going to be Internet Explorer, and it's going to go hit a bunch of services that are actually out on our connect.bizlock.net. And the other one is a WPF app that goes and gets the data from those services as well.
I think we should show the WPF app first.
You want to do that one first?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to launch our Traders Workbench, and we're going to go ahead and log in. And what you're going to see here is a bunch of little widgets. And these widgets represent different data that are being derived from services that run on the service, on the Internet Service Bus. So if we take a look at our stock news, we can see that, you know, Microsoft hosts its fifth annual dev conference, and I can click on it and open it. A stock charts is telling us what different kind of stocks and companies are doing today. We have, you know, a kind of a token trading page. And then over here, you'll actually see the actual stocks and their prices. Now, every once in a while, what you'll notice is that the stocks will change. The prices will change. Now, and there's two ways that actually could happen. One is that widget, if you will go and connect to a service and pull the data down. Now, that generally leads to an interesting little phenomenon. When time is kind of the essence, what people will do is they'll crank up that polling rate. And as a consequence, that leads to an increase in bandwidth costs and also just hammers the living daylights out of the server that's serving those things up. So instead, what we did is, through this pub-sub semantic, is the control basically listens for an event on that URI. And when that event happens, an event is raised, and a little bit of data that describes what the difference is between the two different, what the data that it had before and what the data it currently is provided as part of the event.
Cool. So instead of basically pulling out to these services periodically based on a timer or other types of rules,
you're
basically almost doing a plus equals against an event.
That's exactly
what we're doing. And as the data changes, we get notified instead of us having to go ask for it. Now, just a couple quick things about this app. So you see a lot of different kinds of things in the app. You see the news feeds, you see the charts, you see the stock tickers, we've got the trading capability. We also have implemented as part of this thing a recommendation system where you do where people can come online if they're brokers and make a stock recommendation. You can see when they're online or not. So think about all of those things. All of those things used exactly the same underlying semantics. And here's the cool part. We had a developer build this thing, and they basically built it over a weekend. So chat systems, stock trading information, all of that stuff is being done in this very simple way by creating names out on the Internet Service Bus, publish and subscribe to those things, and this will all work cross-organization, and all that stuff is in there now. Now, there's one other kind of cool thing that we'd like to show on this thing, which is that all of the information that we're looking at through WPF is also available as standard web protocols.
Okay.
So we can look at this thing through HTTP, RSS, and some new standards, such as the SSE work that we're doing around synchronization. So can we open up Internet Explorer to look at this?
So what we're going to go do is now we're using essentially a different client. If you think of WPF as a visualization, now we're going to use IE as a visualization. So I'm going to go up to connect.biztalk.net and take a look at the services that are running there. Now this machine is demo build, and we have a Traders Workbench in here, and we have three services that are currently running on this machine. We have a ticker service, and that shows us basically what the different stocks are doing.
Yeah, and before you go in there, let's just take a look at that ticker service.
Sure.
And notice, if you look at the URL on this thing, it's going up to connect.biztalk.net, and when Dennis is clicking on each of those things, what he's doing is an HTTP request up, and what we're getting back is an RSS feed of the information, and then each of those items can either point to other feeds, that's how we navigate it through a directory of services, or to the actual data items like this Microsoft item.
Cool. So you're actually hitting these same services and just exposing the content in a different way for IE in this case.
Exactly.
RSS client.
But the even cooler thing is that just because these services don't actually have to be running on this machine, these services can be running anywhere. Yep. So in the same way that we were recomposing our connectivity logic, we can do that here. So I could be running, for example, the ticker service locally on this machine, but the new service could be coming off of a completely different network, and the chart service could be coming off a completely different machine altogether. And they're all completely opaque. All they appear as is services in this Internet Service Bus.
So it really kind of abstracts you from the physical deployment and the physical architecture as well.
So they can be on behind firewalls, they can be in different organizations, and they've all been brought together into a uniform namespace that's easy to navigate, look across, discover things, hook them up, subscribe to them. You get the idea.
Okay, great.
So we're going to show you one more demo now. A guy named Clemens Vassar has actually wrote this little app, and we're planning on shipping it pretty soon. This is a little app that we're calling TweetyBot. So let me just log into my Messenger account.
Was that TweetyBot?
Yeah, it's just an internal code name for now. But basically what you'll see is, in a second here, my entire contact list come up.
Is that your dog there?
That's not my dog, in fact. So hopefully TweetyBot is up. Let's take a look here. I'll search for him. TweetyBot. There's TweetyBot. And I can talk to TweetyBot. I can say, hello, Tweety. And I'm going to send him a message. And in a second, because he's just a bot, he's going to come back with something as kind of interesting as duly noted. And while he does that, what we're going to do is we're going to... Wow, I didn't expect that, is what he says. So I can go to connect.biztalk.net, and I'm going to go take a look at TweetyBot's messages. So what TweetyBot is actually a front end for a communication channel. So I've actually sent TweetyBot a message, and he's posted it up on connect.biztalk.net as an RSS feed. So anybody who subscribed to this RSS feed, at the time that they pull that information, will get that data. Now, we actually have a Vista gadget that we're also working on that listens to that URI again, and when that data is published, it gets an event that says, Dennis just said, hello, TweetyBot, and it automatically gets that notification. So we're showing, basically, a little messenger bot act as a front end, and it's publishing data as RSS, and you can get it in two ways, by pulling it or by pulling it off or getting an event notification.
Okay.
So as you can see, what we've done with the Internet Service Bus is we've connected in things like stock information, currency information, TweetyBot, and TweetyBot in itself is all connected into a big IM system. We're taking the messages from IM, putting it out on the Internet Service Bus, and then we're taking applications like Internet Explorer, and they're able to look at the Internet Service Bus. So the Internet Service Bus gives us a way to bring together and integrate applications from all kinds of different sources, translate that information between, for example, enterprise-oriented pub-sub protocols, web protocols, and other kinds of protocols such as Instant Messenger and so on. And you can imagine, for example, BizTalk servers BTS servers that are inside of organizations, going across firewalls, communicating through this stuff. And so BizTalk Services really gives us a great way to pull everything together and to make it much easier for people to build these connected distributed applications.
Cool. So it sounds like you see this being used for a lot of different scenarios, ranging from enterprise as well as consumer-based scenarios and ISVs as well.
Well, I think of it like the .NET framework. The .NET framework is a programming environment that can be used for a lot of different things. We think it's fantastic in the enterprise. We think it's fantastic for building rich connected applications out on the web. And really, if you think about what we're doing, is we're taking the .NET framework and we're extending it by offering services that help it do even more interesting things. And that's really what BizTalk Services is about.
Okay. So one quick question here on the name, BizTalk Services. Is there a tie-in to BizTalk today, or where did that name
come from? Well, BizTalk, we kind of think of it as a brand that can describe the notion of things talking together.
Okay.
And this is really about bringing together all of these different things. And, you know, if you think about BizTalk as an enterprise service bus technology today, by bringing it out onto the internet, we're transforming BizTalk from an ESB to an ISB. And that's where the...
So an enterprise service bus to an internet service bus.
And again, we think that the scope expands to cover a lot of different scenarios.
Okay. To actually get this running on a machine like the samples that you showed earlier with the IRC client and as well as the other sample, we go get the bits from biztalk.net.
Yep.
What are the other things we have to have on our machine to actually get this
framework
running?
You need .NET Framework 3.0, and if you have Vista, that's already installed for you, and that's it.
Okay.
So you just need .NET Framework 3.0 and download our SDK. You'll see all the samples there, and you can send us feedback. We have one of the things that we're trying to do is get, you know, we release this probably every couple of months, and we really want to get people's feedback. So it's actually quite valuable to us if you send us an email and say, hey, I really like this, or I didn't like that, and we get back to you pretty quick. So
it's important to understand this is CTP quality.
Yep.
Meaning, you know, we, Dennis and I, bring that service up and down sometimes over the weekend to do updates on it, and so it's not really ready for you to run, you know, your business on it.
So is there any contracts or anything you have to sign or EULAs or any kind of
If you look up there,
agreements,
it
kind of
says, hey, we're in the labs area, might go up and down, so just be careful with it. Understand that the main goal right now is to work with the developers, understand what they need, make the kind of changes so that we can start getting this thing productized.
So it sounds like this is kind of a rapid CTP model for releasing.
That's exactly what we're doing.
You're pushing these bits out as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't really think of this as, you know, as a released or a beta in any way.
No, that's right. It's not a beta. It's not a release. It's a dialogue that we're having with the developers to figure out what the right thing to build is.
Okay. And so I guess there's no fees to use this either?
Not at the moment. But my guess is at some point in time in the future, there'll be some sort of fee structure. Although one of the things that we think about is we think that a certain amount of this stuff should be just kind of free. And then, you know, if you're really making heavy use of it, then you should be helping us defray the cost
kind of
one of those
foundational-based services. Okay, cool. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It was good to talk to you guys again. Hope to hear from you soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
John, and thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.